Oh, hey, it's your only friend, Dave Hill, here. Sorry, just reading the copy. And this week on The Novelizers, from The Daily Show, Ronnie Chang. From The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon, my close personal friend, Seth Herzog. Plus, Jenny Agardy. File under Yes, Please. Welcome to The Novelizers. Steven, this week's show is so fantastic. It's honestly making me a little emotional. Do we have the budget to put emotional music by me when I'm saying that?
Well, make our Cole Emhoff, our songwriter, write something for free for us.
Yeah, or, you know, it'd be great if people supported the Patreon. Then we could bail Cole out of jail so he could really use his tools.
Do it.
Instead of banging on jail cell bars and hoping for the best.
Good old Cole.
Yeah, miss him.
This is The Novelizers, where we take classic films, turn them into hilarious audiobooks narrated by your favorite comedians and actors.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we have a good show.
Oh, forget it.
Ronnie Chang, Seth Herzog, Jenny Agardy. These people, these are the names you go to. These are the people you go to when you want funny.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's delve a little bit into their bios, please, Dave.
Well, all right. If you really want me to, Ronnie Chang is an Emmy Award-winning comedian, writer, and actor. He's a correspondent on The Daily Show. He's starred in Crazy Rich Asians, Godzilla vs. Kong, 3 Netflix stand-up comedy specials, and he's also in Hulu's Interior Chinatown, based on Charles Yu's book and directed by Taika Waititi. Seth Herzog, my close personal friend, is the host of Sweet, the longest-running live comedy show in New York City, and probably on planet Earth. And he appears frequently on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and co-stars with me in the hit film Boy Band, written by someone named Steven Levinson, I believe. It's available right now on Tubi. It is?
Yeah, watch that. Let's stop and watch that film.
Oh my gosh. That's the Citizen Kane of boy band-based movies, in my medical opinion.
Definitely up there.
Top five. Jenny Agardy has written for McSweeney's, The New Yorker, and is the author of 2 books, selected by Vulture as the best comedy books of the year.
Check them out. Where are we in the story? Did I skip that part?
Where are we in the story? Fox meets with Lau to cancel their deal, leaving his cell phone inside the building before leaving. Batman breaks into Lau's office and kidnaps him because, hey, why not?
Remember that cell phone? It seems like a mistake, but that's, oh, Batman don't make mistakes.
Oh, that strikes me as like a crucial thing, probably.
Yeah, it's not an ordinary cell phone.
Oh, man. Never is.
Ronnie Chang. Novelize me.
The Novelizers, Chapter 7. Mr. Lau and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Novelized by Jenny Agardy, narrated by Ronnie Chang.
Fuck Bruce Wayne and Bruce Enterprise and that lying, smirking, smug Lucius Fox. Well, I do appreciate you bringing me out here in such style, Mr. Lau. You're goddamn right, style. I have style to spare, son. I'm so goddamn style rich, I flew that old, useless Wang all the way to Hong Kong on my private jet. Well, one of my private jets. Not the best one. The one I use, but still. And I put him up in my luxury hotel in a 5-star suite with the highest rated Michelin star chefs any hotel's ever seen. All for Bruce Wayne's elderly biscuit boy to tell me they're calling off the deal? There he was, all smug, all, oh, I'm sure a businessman of your stature will understand. He's right. I do understand. I understand that he's a raggedy little dick. Flies all the way to China on my goddamn dime because Mr. Donkey Face Meat Slap hasn't heard of a phone call? Old man trying to play me when he's the chump? He does all the work while Bruce Wayne, that tall, dark drink of man tit, sleeps off a hangover under the conference table. and Fox answers to him, you know what? They did me a favor. I would almost be grateful to him. Almost. Except then he had the balls to go and chuckle. Right in my goddamn face. He laughed. At me. Me, CEO of Lao Security Investments Holdings. Look at this building. 1,000 stories tall. The tallest building in Hong Kong. Touching the goddamn sky. All for me. All with my goddamn name on it. Look at my office. An entire floor of wall-to-wall glass. Look at my desk, made of 100% African blackwood, the most expensive wood in the world. This wood went extinct because I ordered this desk. Also, I could have sex with my secretary on it, then fire her. Get a load of my king chair, my $100,000 stapler, and best of all, this ball of fish tank. This fish tank cost... I don't even know what it costs. I just said, get me the best goddamn fish tank and fill it with the most expensive fish now. And they did. And now all day, every day, I sit at my sexy desk watching my sexy fish swim around, shiny as sexy, sexy gold. My shiny boys. I call them my shiny boys because they glow like money. And even if all this impressive opulence didn't float Fox's penis, just look at my bodyguards. 6 armed bodybuilders sitting in a nearby conference room waiting to do whatever I tell them. On my word, my tiniest gesture, they'll torture any man, woman, or child. They couldn't care less. And I don't even know their names. I just call them all gang. I number them, gang number 1 through 6, in reference to how big they are. These are the best bodyguards money can buy, and they let me call them whatever I want, because when you're as rich as I am, you're the goddamn man. And Bruce Wayne thinks he can cancel a deal with me? Forget what the clown said. I'm no coward, no squealer. I'm the smartest, coldest, baddest man that was ever pushed out of a screaming woman's sloppy backhead. I've got the goddamn triad and the Yakuza and Gotham's entire crime syndicate in my back pocket. I'm Lao, rich as hell, smooth as marble, sharpest man in the world with a thick, huge hog. I'm the alpha god king of Hong Kong, cradling Gotham's underworld by their stanky taint. They'll pay. They'll all pay. Nah, goddammit, the lights are flickering. Is this a power outage? I'm paying too much for this shit. My time is money, damn it! I wave my phone at gang number 1 so he knows I need him to handle it. He's the biggest guy in the conference room, but dumber than a rock. Dumb as a quarry. If he comes back without answers, I swear to God I'll shave his head. Jesus Christ, it's really dark. I can't see. I'm supposed to be seeing right now, and I can't see for piss. The only light comes from the glow of my fish tank. My shiny boys look peaceful. That gives me the strength I need to reach into my desk and grab my gun. I've never actually shot a gun in my life, but I do own about 1,000 of them. I cock my gun and loosen my neck, just in case my team of muscular gangs are watching. See, I'm tough. I'm not just a top alpha at business and crime. I'm the best at guns. I'm the best at everything. I'm a goddamn billionaire. Next week, I'm going to goddamn space. Okay, I'm not scared or anything, but where the hell are the cops? What the hell am I paying them for? At these rates, the cops should already be so far on my dick, I should feel them protecting me from the scrotum out. What is that? Someone's here. With us. On this floor. I duck behind my second biggest gang for cover, holding my gun out just in case. I see him. Some dark, shadowy figure breaking all my goddamn glass. He's beating the ever-loving crap out of gang number 4, my worst gang, but still. I raise my gun. He's going to beg for death before I'm done with him. Bang! Bang, bang, bang! I start firing shots, but since it's my first time using a gun, I keep yelling bang after I fire. I saw someone hold a gun like this in a movie once, and I think I look pretty good. None of my gangs notice. They're too busy firing shots at that guy. He must have taken 50 rounds, and still, the guy doesn't drop. Who the hell is this guy? How are none of our bullets hitting him? Is he Jason Statham? Is he the devil? We shatter the rest of the glass in the building, but we don't hit this guy once. Wait, where'd he go? My clip is empty, but I keep pulling the trigger, just in case. I'm pouring sweat, soaking my tan suit. Gang number 3 and number 5 are standing next to me, guns out, staring into the darkness.
but no one's moving. We hear sirens in the distance, pulling up to the building. Finally, those stupid, useless cops. Okay, I'm scanning the room, No sign of the Black Devil. One of the gangs is dead at the conference table. His body scattered with shards of glass. Fine. Where are the rest of my guys? I'm way too exposed here. The remaining gang should be covering my body with their bodies like a human shield. I should be wearing them like a bulletproof vest. I yank the nearest gang closer to me and they get with the program and start lumping up around me. Better? We're all standing near my fish tank, the only light in my room. Thank God my fish tank is still here. It's somehow the only thing made of glass that survived the gunfire. How? Whatever. I'm just happy it's still here. I take a deep breath and try to calm down. I listen to the gurgle of the tank, the whirl of the automatic feeder turning on to feed my sweet, shiny boys. They're the best part of this office. Out of nowhere, the Black Devil grabs my left gang. I hit the floor just before he spins around and bam! He smashes the first gang's head into my other gang. Gang's down, all gangs down. But before I can crawl away, the devil grabs me by my leg and starts dragging me through the broken glass. I'm begging him, please, please, I give you money. I'll give you money, just don't kill me. Kill my mother, kill my children, anybody else. Finally, the police are rushing in. I'm screaming as they rush the floor. Kill him, save me, kill him, kill yourself, just do something. Suddenly, this indestructible Vin Diesel dripped in black plastic looking dude pulls me to my feet and starts to... What the hell is he doing? He's strapping me to his chest like a goddamn baby. He's forcing me into this man-sized black leather baby Bjorn. I'm hanging off his chest and... Oh, goddammit, he's using me as a human shield. This is exactly what I wanted the gangs to do. Why is everyone else useless except me? Oh my god, I'm going to die. I'm going to die? I'm going to die in the hands of highly militarized Dolph Lundgren in a mask, right in front of my shiny boys, in front of a line of cops just standing there? Standing there, holding their guns like limp dicks. The whole time I'm screaming, shoot him! Shoot him! Suddenly, I realize I've pissed my tan pants. Just in time for a huge explosion that blows the walls off. Okay, ow! All I hear is ringing, ringing in my ears. Am I dead? Is this dead? I look up. The ceiling is crashing down. My legs are jelly. Do I have legs anymore? I look down. Yes, still there. The cops are all on the ground. They've fallen. The only one left standing is this dark mountain of a man. Is this even a man? Holding me upright. I'm still strapped to his chest. Out of the corner of my eye, amid all the dust and debris, I see my fish tank is still here. Somehow, it's still here. My shiny boys are still swimming around as if nothing's happening. What is this fish tank made of and why is it stronger than my goddamn walls? I feel the night breeze on my back and I hear a second boom behind me. The Dark Devil turns to face the cops who are struggling to stand up. The guns are on full display. Suddenly, I hear the roar of an engine. I'm bent over, face first, into the warm armpit of... Who is this guy? Up close, he looks like a pitch-black, super-jacked horror movie version of Shrek. I am overwhelmed by his body odor. I threw up a little in my mouth. Then... What the? Wow! Wow! I'm flying! I'm goddamn flying! I'm gonna goddamn die! I'm about to die! I am going to... Am I in an airplane? Where the... What the... Where am I? Wait, is that Batman? Before I faint, I have time to think one thing. I am so fucked.
Well, that was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
But we're not done yet.
No.
Because... Each week on the show, we talk to someone who worked behind the scenes on the set of The Dark Knight and hear all the Dark Knight gossip.
Oh, man, I can't wait. This is my favorite part of the show aside from all the other parts.
Me too. Let's hear that interview.
I'm here, Mr. Pat Gamble.
Hi.
Who was the best boy on the movie The Dark Knight? Now, I'm sure you're all wondering, What the hell is a best boy? So if you could explain this, sir, that'd be great.
The best boy is like a term for a lighting tech. It's often called maybe like a gaffer or lighting tech. I don't even know how I'm credited. But I do lighting for film. And for The Dark Knight, I did lighting for The Dark Knight. Oh my God, that was so long ago. But I remember a few things about it. I remember I was only there half the time. About less than half the time.
So when you say half the time, you mean like you were on set?
I was on set about 30 of the 100 days.
Wow.
That they shot. I just didn't show up.
Okay.
I was going through a hard time.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I was going to a lot of benders, a lot of meth benders, like 3 or 4 days just out. You never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I heard you're going to lose days.
You do that. Lost a lot of days. I ended up in like the Salton Sea. You're like, what the fuck? Why am I here?
Yeah.
And like, no teeth. I've had my teeth redone a bunch of times. And I'm like spray painting a dog. And I had no idea what to do. So then I have to find my way back home and then find the set.
But, okay.
Because we shot around LA mm-hmm. and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what city we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I go to the wrong city.
So you just show up and there's nothing there.
But I think the reason why a lot of the movie is so dark,
mm-hmm.
not just emotionally, but physically, you can't see anything that's going on.
Yeah.
It's because I just wasn't there.
Yeah, you just weren't doing your job.
I just wasn't there.
Okay.
And then when I did show up, though,
mm-hmm.
when I did show up, I told them, no, turn them off. Whatever lights were on, they're like, hey, do you want to direct these lights for the scene? I was like, yeah, I'm going to direct them, but I turn them all off. Let's do it.
So there were a few parts in the movie,
yeah,
like the hospital, where you could see light.
Right. That was a mistake.
Is that when you weren't there?
That was just a gaffe.
Okay.
That was a mistake. Someone turned on the lights and I shot and I was like, we got to do that again. It's supposed to be off. They're like, well, we don't have time. We only have one take. So like the interrogation scene that's really bright,
mm-hmm.
total mistake.
Mistake. Because
it was dark before that, if you remember.
Yeah.
Richard Gordon's in there, it's super dark.
Mm-hmm.
And the lights turn on and we're like, ah! Mm-hmm. The scene was supposed to be pitch black.
Like no one had makeup done. It was just, it was a rough situation.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. It was supposed to be pitch black like the mm-hmm. rest of the film. Whatever. They turn the lights on and Chris Nolan likes to do one take. He's a one take Johnny.
Yeah.
So we did one take and I was like, well, we got to do it again. He's like, nope, we're keeping the lights on.
So how did you end up being in this position in the first place? Like getting this type of job?
I was the only one who interviewed.
He was the only one that interviewed for the job. Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of time. Chris Nolan's a busy guy. He has to write 1 3-hour script and then another 3-hour script. And he mm-hmm. has to make sure those scripts are not able to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go back over and rewrite them. Be like, no, people, this is too much understandable. People
yeah.
will understand what's happening.
Yeah.
I have to make it more confusing. So he's busy. He's busy
understandable.
Making scripts confusing. So he doesn't have time. So I met him at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the bathroom. We were in the bathroom. He needed to use the bathroom. I was in the stall and I was busy.
Were you using the bathroom or you were just busy?
I was in there.
Okay.
All
right.
I was just in there.
Okay. All right.
I don't think I was wearing much more than a smile. But anyway, he was in there. We were in there together.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I recognized him.
Yeah.
And I'm nude.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm prepping for a film. This is for a part. And he goes, are you an actor? I said, no, I do lighting. He goes, you're naked and you're prepping for a lighting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I'm doing the new Batman. Do you want to do lighting? Because I need someone and I don't have time to interview people.
Yeah.
And I said, I will do it.
And he just, okay, you're on.
He okayed it.
You're
he
on.
Walked
you're
out okay. of the bathroom and I had a job. And then I had to go track him down, get his number, find out where to be.
Did you find clothes first after that situation? Or was it still a naked? Because I don't know where the clothes.
I had to find someone's clothes.
Okay.
Mine were gone.
Okay.
I had to find someone's clothes, get them on,
yeah.
and then find him.
Cool. That was a big hole in the story. And I just wanted to make sure we filled that up.
There was a lot of big holes that night.
Yeah. Not a problem. Have you ever had what do you call it, like a goal or like a joy in doing lights? Like, is this something you always done all your life, or is it just
that was the only time I'd ever done it?
Now I must admit, I guess technically it felt like you haven't done it yet because you said
you're right because I didn't show up.
You didn't show up.
That was the first time I attempted it.
Okay,
and it was the only time I've done it. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I've done no other movies since then,
okay.
And I think it looks pretty good. For considering I was only there half the time and considering they didn't use many lights because I wasn't there.
But that was that's going to be my next segue. It seems like by you not being there,
yeah.
that enhanced the movie, because that's what they like about it. Right. They probably weren't going to call it The Dark Knight until they realized that most of the movie was in dark because you didn't show up. So they had to make it make sense.
It was called The Light Knight.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
That was the original title, was The Light Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw what my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we're going to make this dark because we don't need lights. And I don't know what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. I don't know how to work this. So they said, let's make it The Dark Knight. And then it's thematic.
Yeah. It really brought it out.
Oh.
It really brought it out.
I was wanting to call it The Dark Knight, no K. Take the K out. It's just a dark night.
A dark night, yes.
Right.
Yes.
But I wanted the whole title to be The Dark Knight and then parentheses, no K.
That would have been good. That would have been good. Like, so then it was like, well, no K, but it's like, use your brain, take
use
it out.
Use your brain to take it out. I wanted to spell it out because I think the audience was going to be able to do
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
The audience was going to be like, you misspelled the title.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't misspell the title. Parentheses, yeah. No K.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
How did your family feel? Like, just your family in general. Like, you know, my brother, daughter, son, whatever, was in this amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to. Maybe they knew that you didn't make half of it, but you were a part of something special. Yeah. How does that feel, like, from a family perspective? Are you respected? You know, things like that.
Have you seen my family? Have you talked to them?
I have not.
I'm waiting for someone to find them.
Wow.
So if you see them or talk to them, let me know, because I'd love to see how they feel about it.
You know, that movie came out like, you know, like almost like 20 years ago, something
20
like
years
like
ago?
17 years, 18. It was a lot. Ooh, it was a while back.
Time has flown.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen them easily that long.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, look, they may have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if my name's in there because I've never seen it.
You've never seen the movie?
Well, I've seen scenes.
You've seen scenes, but you haven't seen it.
I know how it looks.
In its totality.
I've never seen the whole thing.
You didn't go to the
premiere? Don't tell me how it ends.
I was.
They wouldn't tell me where it was.
They didn't tell
you? They wouldn't tell me where it was. In fact, Nolan's assistant gave me an address and a date.
Yeah.
And it was something else.
Yeah. It could have been LA or New York. Who knows?
That's what they said. They said, we don't know where it's going to be. It's going to be on this date. We don't know what city.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Yeah. I'm sure they were banking on you to go to the wrong city again.
They said, you figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
And I tried really hard to figure it out. Yeah. I couldn't.
Why is it that you don't want to know how it ends?
Oh, I've just been lazy and I haven't gone to see it.
You don't have to go to see it.
I fall asleep every single time.
Okay.
Right when they're going to figure out who's going to blow up which boat.
Uh-huh.
I can't get through that scene without falling asleep.
Is that early in the movie?
Late.
It's late in the movie? The boat?
The two boats were like,
oh, yes, boat, yes, yes, yes.
The other boat, they don't know. One's going to hit the other.
Yeah.
They don't know. It's like a trust exercise.
Yeah. And you fall asleep,
like,
on that part?
Yeah, it feels like a corporate trust exercise.
But it's very climactic, though. It's like, which one's going to blow up? Who's going to? Okay, all right. All right, I apologize.
Oh, my God.
I apologize.
Is the good in people going to win out over the evil in people? I get it.
I just feel like it's a huge thing, you know? It speaks to our humanity.
I don't know how it ends. I fall asleep every time during that scene.
And you don't want me to tell you?
No, I'll see it one day.
Okay. Now, can I tell you this, though?
Okay.
No
spoilers.
Okay. It's not a spoiler, but okay. at the end of the movie, after it ended,
okay.
The credits rolled.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know if your name was there or not?
No.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. I don't want to know. If it says best boy, it's going to say uncredited.
So let's turn it back a little bit with this best boy.
Yeah.
Is this a title that you gave yourself, or is this a title that Mr. Nolan gave?
It's a title that I think is used in a lot of movies.
Best. I have seen a lot of credits roll.
You've never seen the best boy?
I stop after the... Once I see him, I leave.
I wanted to say hot guy,
mm-hmm.
but they went with best boy instead.
So I know, but it's like... Well, I guess why best boy? You know, because
it's demeaning, right?
Yeah, and you know, you were there half the time, less than half the time.
It wasn't like the best time. It's ironic. Best is in quotes.
But at the end of the day, I think, and I speak for everybody here.
Yeah,
that since you were
me and you.
Yeah, me and you. Yeah, everybody, including
everybody
myself.
Here.
What you did, your work for when you were there. The 10% you were there.
It was inspiring. I'd say it was the most inspiring work of my life.
It worked.
They said, Pat, how are we going to shoot this? How's it going to light this? It's a big, big scene.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, you know what, guys? Less is more. That's all the only phrase I've ever heard in my life. I was like, less is more. And they go, okay. and they put on a couple lights and they go, how's this look? And I go, yeah. And then I'd say, all right, Chris, we're ready for you. And he'd say, this is not going to work for what we're doing. I'd go, I know, you figure it out.
And it seems like he did. He didn't do anything. It was dark for 80% of the movie.
Most of the movie's dark.
80% of the movie.
That is on purpose because I didn't know how to light a movie.
For anybody that wants to inspire to be a best boy,
yeah,
or do what you did,
yeah,
and so you can inspire the young kids, the younger generation,
hang coming up, out in bathrooms.
You heard it here first, guys. For those that the young kids out there, hanging out in bathrooms can lead you
to all sorts of things you never expected.
This is the Novelizers. I'm Kevin Carter. This is Pat, and you guys have a good one.
Good night.
Oh, fantastic.
That was amazing.
I learned so much.
I'm going to rewind and listen to it again, maybe.
Yeah. That guy sounded a lot like Seth Herzog. Anyway, that's our show for tonight.
Another home run. Another touchdown. Another goal.
Sports and superheroes, not really.
Yeah.
Not really our thing.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening, person listening. You're the best. Your hair looks incredible. You know it, and I know it. And Steven is also willing to admit it.
True.
Also, special thanks to this week's guests, Ronnie Cheng, Seth Herzog, and Jenny Egerty, three of the greats. Ronnie Cheng was recorded at Parabolic Studio in Manhattan. Special thanks to Lou Goldstein, Julia Scubas, and Jackie Salemo. Keep up the good work. You're a champion. The Novelizers is hosted by me, Dave Hill, with Steven Levinson, and produced by Steven, Dennis DiClaudio, Cole Emhoff, Graham Douglas, Kevin Carter, Christine Bolin, Rob Kuttner, and Marla Ratner, and distributed by Cincinnati Public Radio. Editing and mixing by Graham Douglas. Music by Cole Emhoff. Theme song by Andrew Lynn, recorded by Knotts. Additional editing by Andrew Lynn and Sunita Haberlein. Special thanks to Brad Combs and Parabolic Studio in Manhattan. Follow the Novelizers on Instagram and support us on Patreon. The Novelizers is written and recorded without the use of AI. The Novelizers is an unauthorized work of parody. Copyright 2025, Novelizers, LLC.